You're tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Stupid Cupid, you're a real mean guy.
Hey, KBOO listeners. Join us at the station on February 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. for our Stupid KBOOFID First Friday Arts Walk. Enjoy art, listen to music, savor drinks, get your face painted, and pick up a Valentine's gift from one of our amazing vendors. There's something for everyone. We can't wait to see you.
Hello, my name is TK Kapurai and I'm an immigrant from Zimbabwe. I'm the host of The Global Cell, which airs live in the Air Room the first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. I host immigrants and refugees from various global spots. I like to bring out their lived experiences so the world can know something about them. I like to bring a lot through my guests so we may have diverse experiences, cultures, foods, music, interests, and anything on the platform. We can share and learn a lot through their live instructions. Let's do this together, not only for a better platform for our community, but a better community for our platform. Again, tune in for my show, The Global Cell, live in the Air Room, the first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. here on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and also available on the web at kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a space for students from Portland Community College experiencing disabilities to discuss perspectives, ideas, and worldviews in an inclusive and accessible environment. We broadcast biweekly on our home website, pcc.edu/DCA, and bi-monthly right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Today's the first Friday of the month, so we're having a live roundtable discussion. As a reminder, the views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or KBOO FM. My name is Hannah, and in the air room, we have Michelle, Miguel, Amanda, and a guest. We have Consuelo with us, Manager of Accessible Travel Americas. Say hi, Consuelo.
Hi, everybody. Very happy to be here to talk about traveling, especially that summer is coming.
Yeah, Consuelo also hosts her own radio show, Once Upon a Time, every other Friday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., yes. Where the audience is encouraged to participate by phone and to write or read a few words about their lives by telling our stories. Words have the power to help us heal. Today, she will be talking to us about travel tips, her own experiences, and what one should do and not do when planning a trip abroad. With holidays and New Year's officially over, it is the perfect time to ask about new beginnings and potential adventures we may go on this year. We're also going to be talking about our favorite travel stories and experiences to encourage people to go out and make their own adventures. Say hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
We're back. It's been a while. I think we missed January's show. Yeah?
Yeah, we did. I think it was a well-deserved break, and I think we're all recharged and ready to go again, though.
Let's go.
We Alrighty. Are.
Definitely.
Take it away, Miguel.
What are your biggest or most prominent travel tips to people traveling abroad for the first time, disabled or not disabled?
Yeah, I think travel is a great experience, and you have to take it carefully. What does it mean? It means that you have to be informed, you have to do research, you have to know exactly where do you want to go, why do you want to go, and what are your expectations about your trip. Sometimes people decide to go abroad or to travel because they're hiding of something or they're in grief. When you have that kind of situation, it's better to stay home, not to go anywhere far away, because that pain goes and travels with you no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. So what is important first is to have the right state of mind, to be happy about it, mm-hmm. to be dreaming about it. And also, it's important to know why are you choosing that destination. Sometimes it's something that you heard in your family about your ancestor. Sometimes it's a book. Sometimes it's a movie. There are so many reasons. The first trip, I think, should be at home. It shouldn't be abroad. You have to learn how to travel. It's something that you learn with time and with how often you travel to the beach, to the mountain, to the city. So to see how you behave, because believe it or not, our chemic change when we are traveling. Yeah. So sometimes or we are too tired because jet lag, or we are too hungry because also, or we are disoriented. Yeah. Because believe it or not, it's not only the language. Is so many different aspects that we have to consider before we have that big adventure called traveling.
So going on that as well, what are your most memorable travel experiences?
I have several. I am not as young as you are, so I have several. But the first one, traveling by air, I was 11 years old and I am from Chile, so I went to the south of Chile with my parents. It took 7 hours, a kind of airplane that we don't have now, so you can see how old that was. And I decided at that moment that I will dedicate part of my life to traveling. I was so enchanted with the plane, with adventure, with the anticipation of the discovery. That was something that stayed in my mind and in my spirit. That was something that I will never forget. Yeah. That's so cool. Beautiful.
That's interesting because I always hated the plane whenever I traveled myself.
I feel like it's not like comfortable, but it's not super uncomfortable, and I'll just like sleep through the entire thing.
I'm afraid of planes now. I mean, just hearing the news about like planes crashing all over the place, but it's definitely not comfortable, but it's a necessary evil.
Yeah, yeah. I have a comment about that. Obviously,
it's not
you are
comfortable in the slightest. Like, I can't sleep on a plane, and I often get motion sickness. So a lot of times, I just kind of hope for the best and just try to not look out the window.
Obviously, you are not my generation, mm-hmm. and you are here. And now to travel is much less comfortable than it was before. That is a fact, because there are more people who travel by air.
That's true.
Yeah. So the whole industry has been changing very much.
And airplane seats are just getting smaller and smaller.
They are. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I'm a
goodness.
Pretty small person, so like You're I don't lucky. Have long legs. So I'm like, yeah, I still have enough wiggle room. Oh, but
I sympathize. I am in the same situation that you are.
For sure.
To me, what all airports, especially international airports, need to include for passengers are pay showers. Like, I cannot tell you how many times my wife and I have had long layovers where I just wished I could shower just to get the smell of airplane off me and just, like, not be itchy anymore.
You need to have a business class. You need to go into business class. That's where all the luxury of, like, flying comes in.
Do the lounges have showers?
Yeah, they do. They do. Especially if you're going to like Japan or Korea or any like really big cities, I would say. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Consuelo.
Also, all the airline have their kind of VIP room.
Yes.
And where you can get. But this is exactly what I was talking about. If it's for you so uncomfortable, I don't think you should travel until you control your emotion and you enjoy.
Yeah. I agree.
Because otherwise it's too expensive, and if it's going to be a hassle, travel by car and go get to see this country that is big enough for you, yeah. and yeah. also Canada, or at least go to Mexico. Yeah. For me, for example, I haven't gone to Asia because of that reason, because it's too far away from Chile, I am thinking, no, from here. Mm-hmm. And also, usually I travel to countries where I speak the language. Where I don't speak the language. Yeah. Because I think the language, even English, is mm-hmm. universal. Mm-hmm. But there are some other places where you get more substance if you do speak the language. Right. To go to a restaurant and to know exactly what you are getting is a joy.
Yeah.
And that is the reason, because I think strongly that to travel require preparation.
It does.
I think so.
I brought a list of books. We can talk later about it. So this way you can start learning about your destination. Mm-hmm. You can see movie. You can see, listen to the music. So this way you discover and enjoy the culture of the place where you are going. It's not only to see things. Is how you feel in the place.
Yeah, that's true. For sure. It's that's always so good true. To also look ahead and just be like, okay, like this might be an area that might be unsafe for me. Because I know that like identifying like as a woman, like, there's places that I definitely want to avoid.
And in fact, Consuelo, as a woman yourself, what are ways that you would advise travelers to stay safe, especially women who are traveling alone?
Yeah, well, no, there are several organizations that take care of women traveling alone, what is very good. I will strongly suggest that you don't organize your trip, that you look for assistance. Yeah, I believe that travel agents are the people who should be helping and planning the trip with you. And those people are the one who you have to ask advice if they know really the destination. Also, you can look at the estate website in this country, and they will tell you about the specific location, but the destination where you are going. And when you arrive to a place, if you are in a decent hotel, no expensive, decent, what is different, the concierge, if they have a concierge, or the person at the reception, she or he will know exactly where you shouldn't go. Every place in the world have places where you shouldn't go. Yeah, so why will you go there? Don't expose yourself. That will spoil the whole trip. No. And also, you have to be careful about being robbed or being having a hard time or your credit card. You should travel. You should have you should have a copy of your passport and perhaps leave the passport in the hotel if you feel comfortable enough. Yeah. Those kind of things are useful. And also now, what happened the last time I went to Paris with my husband, I didn't take my phone, and they didn't have phone like they used to have in the street to call only the hotel and phone booth. Yes.
Wow.
So I was super surprised because I arrived to we were in Normandy, we were arriving to Mont Saint Michel, and I needed to call to dial a code to get into the place where I was going, and I didn't have the phone. The guy who was there said, "Why? You don't have a phone?" I speak French, so I didn't have any problem. I said, "No, I don't have a phone. Why do I need to have a phone?" "Yes. When you have it, you call, and he did. And then I learned never more. So now you will all travel with your phone. This was 10 years ago. Yesterday. And so that was something that I learned. I said, okay, this city has been changing. Now we don't have this kind of service.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, just because nowadays we do travel with phones, one thing that my mother-in-law and other people who have traveled abroad quite a bit, especially to Asia, have told me is to know the international emergency numbers, basically know each country's emergency service number as well as the specific I want to say country area code. Like, I think I think the USA is. Am I allowed to say that?
Plus one.
Yeah, plus one. I mean, it's no
plus
Canada.
One.
Yeah.
Chile is plus 56. Yes, well, all those kind of things are something that you have to ask your travel agents. And all that information also will be in a good guidebook.
Yes. I think also, like, when I've traveled, I guess mostly in Asia, like at my hostels that I stayed at, there's like always people looking to go out and do something. And the people that have been there for like a few days before you, they might know the area better. So it's always good to like just kind of check in with other people, like if you can, if there's an opportunity to, because they might have done something that's really cool, or they know like a deal, or like, I mean, I found deals for like boat trips and kayaking adventures in Thailand. So.
I agree.
Just ask around.
And that take us to another thing that we have to talk is, do you want to travel alone? Do you want to travel with family? Do you want to travel with friend or with your dog? Some people travel with your dog.
That would be so difficult.
It would be very difficult. I have so many stories, especially when I went to Europe with my family. Mm-hmm. We weren't very... familiar with the area, but my older brother, who lives in Europe, knew about where we were going to, but we had to take trains. And I think this was a universal thing that we didn't know about, but apparently all the trains are always delayed in Europe.
Right.
So when we ended up missing our train, our tickets were just void. So we were stuck in a location, and then we even ended up getting split up because we were rushing for a train. My parents got into the train first, and then we got separated, and we're like, oh, shoot, we gotta figure it out. So I think, I mean, in my opinion, at least, I would prefer traveling by myself just to eliminate any kind of stress.
Yeah, traveling by yourself, you can just make your own schedule, and you don't have to worry about other people. Or if you're bringing your pets with you, I'd be afraid to lose my dogs. Like, because they're not going to know the area, and they're going to be, like, overwhelmed, and I'm going to be overwhelmed. Like, how do you find them?
How do you find them if they get lost?
But I have known people who go hiking to different places in the world, and they take their dog for that experience. Yeah. And obviously, if that person is taking the dog, it's because he's a world traveler already.
Yeah.
It's not in the first trip that you will take your dog to Asia. No. Or to the Himalaya. It's because you took it around your neighborhood, and then the...
You're going to a road trip,
the mountain.
Sure.
Right. You have several experience. I think that is the reason, because it's very important to really explore why are you traveling.
So, Consuelo, I have a question for you. What are the most common mistakes you see people make while traveling?
Be careless.
Oh, yeah.
I can definitely attest to that.
Be careless, disoriented. The people usually are the traveler that they don't take the time to really study the destination. Especially the first time. Every time you study a destination, because you will discover different places and different things, but not to take seriously enough. This is a serious matter. It's your money, it's your integrity, it's your safety. And if you are in
too,
a wheelchair, for example, that is our specialty, traveling, accessible travel for all, is... you need to make arrangement in advance. You see, with the airline, with the people who are going to take you when you arrive at the destination, and the hotel or the apartment. In my case, my husband has a Parkinson, so I rent here in Portland an accessible apartment that has everything the way I wanted, the bathroom and everything. So it took me almost 2 or 3 weeks to have everything ready for us to come.
That's not as long as I thought it would be. Like, I always just assume it would be take like maybe a month to prepare or something like that.
But no, it depends where you are going, because Portland is very accessible in some way. But it is not that easy to find a place that is not too expensive and in a good location. To rent it, you see, that was also available.
Yeah.
Because everything has to be together. It's not only that the place exists, it has to be available.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I didn't want to go to a hotel because I like to cook. Yeah. So of I course, wanted yeah. to have my friend over and to be able to cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, finding kitchens when traveling can be kind of difficult sometimes.
I hate cooking, so that is one thing I love about traveling. I have an excuse not to cook.
You always go out to eat. Well,
hey, if you're in Thailand or Malaysia, I've not been to Thailand, but Malaysia, it is so cheap to eat out because of the hawker stalls and the night market and the central market. But in terms of disability and accessible travel, in my experience, there has been I'm just going to say Britain and Italy, because those are the two that kind of stick out of my mind the most. Like, the countries just did not feel very accessible for disabled people, especially people who have mobility issues and wheelchairs. Like, what do you recommend for travelers who are going to countries like that, that kind of value older architecture and kind of just older streets and just don't want to modernize?
How many years ago was that?
Probably like 5 or 7 years ago.
Yeah,
the last time I went to Britain was actually last year.
Yeah, I think the first mistake is that you didn't contact a travel agent that expertise is that. You need help. Mm. Because Europe is very advanced. That is my experience.
In some ways, but again, I still think the architecture and the streets are just not very disabled-friendly.
But not all of them. Not all of them. Yeah. So they will give you perhaps a map where you can still see beautiful building and you will be able to go with a wheelchair or something else. Mm-hmm. And first that, to look for help. Look, also Europe is very well developed, in my humble opinion, because they have the Second World War. So they have to become very available. And of course there are always some places more developed than others, but doesn't mean that they are not friendly to people who are in a wheelchair. And to find somebody, a company that expertise is that destination that will help you very, very much. That is only I can say. And also, if you have been traveling before with that person, you know exactly more or less what to do. That experience gives you a lot of, and that is a reason also because I think sometimes it's worthwhile to go back to the same destination where you have been. I have been Paris or to France 12 times in my life.
Nice. Wow.
Because I love it and because I am older than you are. And at your age, I wasn't in Paris, but I work doing this, you know, all the time. But what happened is people ask me, why you keep going? I keep going because it's home now. Yeah. I know exactly where to go. I know my favorite restaurant. I know where I go to a movie.
Yeah.
And I stay a long period of time. And that give me a sense of belonging. And this is what we want when we are traveling.
Yeah.
If you are 2 days here, 2 days there, 1 day here, this is nothing. Stay home. Don't travel that way. Go camping with your best friend here in Oregon, Washington. That will be much better than to spend, again, why will you spend that amount of money and time and energy, 2, 1, 3, 2, I'm back.
No, you can't get to know the area. You can't enjoy people.
And you can know the most important. You cannot really pay attention to your feeling.
That is true.
How you feel in that city. Do you feel safe? Do you feel that you belong? That you would like to come back? Do you feel that you are making good memories with yourself or with the people you are traveling?
Yeah.
That is what is important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's one of your favorite foods that you ate for the first time in another country?
Wow. The first time I traveled abroad was to Europe.
Uh-huh.
And we arrived, my father was invited, and I traveled with my parents. And we arrived to Frankfurt and Main in Germany. And my godparents were... He was from Germany, so I was a little bit accustomed to German food. I love it. And so to see all the variety of sausage, I couldn't imagine. Wow. That
my wife would love that place.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I couldn't, and all the variety. I was very young. I wasn't drinking. Well, I don't drink beer. I drink only wine. And also all the variety of beer that I couldn't believe it. I mean, I knew it was the country of beer. But one thing is to see all the display in the supermarket. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was, I try every time I travel to be as native as much as I can.
Right. Wow.
So yeah, to try food that I haven't tried before, to feel that I can experience and discover different things. And I like to go to restaurant to take a recipe. So I take ideas.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. What about you, Miguel? Like, what kind of favorite food? I'm not sure if you've traveled a lot, but...
Favorite foods?
Yeah. Or, like, favorite food that you tried for the first time in another country.
Or state.
Or state, or yeah.
I tried jambalaya in Louisiana.
Oh, nice.
Is it as legendary as people say it is?
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. It was, I liked all the flavors. I tried it for, you know, the experience, and I took my time and just enjoyed those moments of trying jambalaya for the first time.
Good. What is that?
What? Yeah.
Do explain. Is it like it alligator?
Stew? It's like a stew. Yeah. Okay.
And a little bit spicy.
Yes.
Everything is spicy in Louisiana.
Nice. What's like the base? Is
Creole.
It
more than a spicy Creole, that is a combination between Spanish, Indian, and American food.
French food. Okay.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very nice.
I would definitely try it again. I would love to have it again.
Yeah, sure. You should. Yeah. You should try. Oh, yeah.
You
if they have a vegetarian version, I would totally try it.
Out of curiosity, would the Asher asked this, but is jambalaya like kind of like a seafood base in terms of the broth, or like
is it meat?
What do you think?
The one I had was the seafood one.
Oh, well. So there's different types. What?
Yeah, usually it's a crawfish or something. There's actually at Beaverton Central, there's this food cart that actually they're from Louisiana and the New Orleans area, and they actually make like authentic jambalaya and
seafood.
Why is this? Gumbo. And my favorite plate, my favorite dish from them is the crawfish at Dufay.
Crawfish.
Oh, I love crawfish. If I were to go to the deep south, the first thing I would want to do is go crawfish hunting. That sounds so fun to me.
It's actual fish?
It's basically tiny lobsters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was a fish.
They do pinch, though. So, by the way, if you ever do go crawfish or lobster hunting, just know that the way they pinch is by bending their tail.
Oh.
It hurts.
They do have pinchers, though.
Do they? They do have pinchers.
Yeah, like the ones in Oregon do. Sometimes they use them to fight, but really it's just to attract mates.
All right, that's right.
Animal kingdom.
Yeah, I can like my favorite travel experiences myself always involve animals. Like in Malaysia, the first time I was there, and kind of the only time I've been there so far, I was meeting my in-laws, my wife's family, my mother-in-law's family specifically. Her cousin picked us up from our hotel. We were driving behind this IKEA to avoid traffic, and this guy literally comes up to her car and hands us a kitten.
Nice.
A calico kitten. It's like crying and flea ridden, and it's like, I bring it to her family house and bathe it, and they're like, no, you have to get rid of it. The dog will eat it. The dog will kill it. So me and my wife's cousin literally like went around this neighborhood in Malaysia begging, going house to house and store to store, please take this kitten so it won't starve on the street.
I've done that too. Like, so in the Philippines, me and another girl at a hostel were going to, there's like a, I think it was like a restaurant resort like that had a great view of the bay. And like on the way up, like we were walking up the driveway, we found kittens like meowing in the woods.
Yes! Yeah.
Well, like what's really sad is that like there's a lot of cats, like there's like too many cats on like the Philippine islands.
Yes, I'm with Malaysia.
So people will sometimes abandon kittens.
Abandon.
Yeah. So we brought them back to our hostel, and the ladies that own the hostel and who were working there, they were really nice. They're like, we'll try our best to find a home for them.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah. Always a lot of animals.
I wanted to take the kitchen to the hotel in Malaysia that we were staying at. My wife shot that down.
I know people sometimes will like go travel and they'll bring back a dog or a cat from where they were traveling from.
I was shocked that was not me.
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted that to be me. And it's like, I think my sister and my mom were both shocked that did not happen because I told them about it.
They were
already expecting me to bring it home.
Yeah, I feel like it might be difficult getting all the shots that they required to get.
Quarantine.
But the thing with it is, I was going to hide it in my jacket.
Oh my gosh. Sure. You'll go through an x-ray or whatever, or like the
the little machine.
Like the machine, yeah, that like that square there, machine. That you're going to have your hands above your head. And like,
you're going to see something crawling around.
Like a kitten will be picking out of your sleeve.
That would have been a great story.
That would have been a very good story.
No, this is not a real life kitten. It's a robot. It looks very real.
It's a toy. I promise.
Amanda, you would not want to leave this place. There's an island in Japan is called like a cat island.
I know.
Where like once you sit down, those cats will just swarm you. It's the best thing ever.
Yep. It's same with Bunny Island in Japan.
Oh yeah, there is a Bunny Island too. Where do these bunnies come from?
There's actually kind of a dark story behind that, actually.
Okay, we're not going to get into it.
But these animal stories kind of do make me have a really, really want... me really inspire me to ask this really fun question. Consuelo, what is your most prominent experience of culture shock, like when you were first traveling when you were younger? Like, would you say you've had moments of culture shock or?
I will say I was thinking about when we were in. We were in Hungary or we were in Slovakia? No, in Hungary. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. We were in Hungary and we have to pay. We were taking the metro, the subway. Mm-hmm. And before, I have a ticket already, but for some reason when I passed the door or the thing, I don't know the name, the guy who was there, he said, you have to pay $5 more.
What?
Hmm. And you will not be able to get into the train. I was with my husband, and I start fighting with him. Oh. Fighting.
I've been there.
Fighting to the point that I was jumping because I was so angry. So I was jumping, and my husband was trembling. And the guy said, if you keep doing this, because the discussion was, I have my ticket. I already passed my ticket. Why do I need to pay that $5 more? That was many years ago. Yeah. And he said, I don't care. I need the $5. So I thought that was for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see? Yeah, I would think that'd be a pickpocket too.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And so I keep insisting, no, I'm not going to give you any $5. I'm not. And finally my husband looked at me like, please give him the $5. And we finish with this. Otherwise we will go, maybe they will take you to jail. So yeah. I give him the $5. I was very disturbed, shocked. I never take the metro again in that place.
He didn't explain why he needed the $5?
No, that's definitely a pickpocket. He's definitely targeting you because you're a woman.
He saw me, a foreigner, and woman, and this and that. That was very unpleasant. I think it's the only time. And the other time, but I did it, I was leaving Paris, and I didn't want to leave, obviously. So the police came and touched me all over, whatever. And she said, okay, you are ready to go. No, I am not going. I'm going to stay here. Mm-hmm. So take me with you. Was all the reverse. Take me with you because I am not going to go. I don't want to go back to America. I don't want to go back to Chile. I want to stay here. So if you want to take me, and I will stay here. And again, my husband was trembling. And look at her, and she was looking at me like she said, is she crazy? What is she talking about? And I said, I can stay at least one more month. It's not that I will stay my whole life here.
Yeah.
And she said, ma'am, it's much better that you come back. And I said, okay, I will be back. Wow. I was too young and I had a lot of energy. And I felt
How do you deal with like the reverse culture shock after traveling so long in one like area and then coming back to the U.S.? Because I feel like when I came back
I cried most of the time the whole trip.
Aww.
Yeah. I cried. Because first when you are in vacation, you supposedly that you are having a lot of fun, see?
Yeah.
So the fact that you have to come back to a certain routine, that is already something that is complex.
So I am not crying. Mode to civilian mode.
I am not crying because it's bad to come home here or to Chile. No, I am crying because that wonderful time is over and I want more. We all want more. Yeah. And also, yes, I can see the difference and I appreciate in every place the different, and I try to accommodate myself to those different. Mm-hmm. I am not as flexible as you can think in terms of traveling. It's very hard for me. Mm. It's very, very hard. That is the reason because I keep going place the same place to learn more about how to travel, because it take energy and it take time and it take money and also to be flexible. Mm-hmm. And that is the worst part. It's very hard sometimes to be flexible.
Right.
Even if you feel that you have the right because you are the client.
Yeah.
Right. In Italy, one time, we were in the lake region, and I asked for a room facing the lake. We arrived to the place, and the room wasn't facing the lake. So I start saying, no, I want the room facing the lake. Yeah. Otherwise, I am out of here. And the woman looked at Fred, my husband, said, is she Italian? Yes, she is. Okay, she will have the room that she wants.
I want to say that Italians are probably the, I'll say, confrontational people I've ever met while traveling.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know about that.
To, like, confront people like that. I would be so afraid.
I just wouldn't care about the hotel room, because it's like when my wife and I travel, it's like we want to see like the area we're in. We want to explore. We kind of want to eat, taste different foods, like you said. And it's like, for me, it's like a hotel or Airbnb or wherever we're staying. It's just a place to sleep and store our stuff. I don't really care if it has a lake view or not.
Yeah. I think when you're traveling and you're like kind of stressed, like maybe you might be more like confrontational or like something. But like
because you're tired.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then also like sometimes like you'll encounter people who are trying to take advantage of you
because
you're
definitely a traveler.
So you have to be like, you have to put your foot down. You have to be more maybe hostile than you normally would be, or otherwise they won't leave you alone.
I agree. Yeah. And also it's customer service. I mean, if you have a book a place. In terms of hotel, I love hotels, all nice hotel.
Do you have any recommendations on how to look for hotels when you're traveling?
In how to what?
How to look for hotels.
Look for hotels when you're traveling.
So many booking, for example, you go to booking.com and you can choose whatever. Mm-hmm. But I said from the beginning, you will be good that you speak to somebody who knows about the hotel, where the hotel is located, and the neighborhood you're going to stay is important.
Yeah.
If it has a restaurant, the hotel, if it has a room service, also is important, because if you are in Cusco, for example, I had to be in bed because the altitude bothers me so much. I have a terrible headache, and I had to. So lucky me, that was a nice place where I was enjoying to be in bed.
I also want to say with like hotels, sometimes like booking.com or like some of those other websites, they might have higher prices. So like what I would do is I would call like a hostel or a hotel that I was planning to stay at and be like, hey, so I see like online that it's like pesos or whatever. And they'd be like, okay, well, we can offer it to you lower. Just show up and we'll like reserve a place for like your space for you.
That's a lot of trust.
Compare prices.
Yeah. But I feel like also like when you're traveling, like you learn how to trust quicker. and like who you can trust.
I think that's a big one, who you can trust. And you also probably pick up on signs or like specific words they use when they're interacting with you, right?
Yeah, that's true. Or just like getting a vibe check of like the area too, or
it,
the person.
It will depend also what kind of service do you want.
That's true.
If you like Amanda said that she doesn't care to sleep in a place that only is clean.
Mm-hmm.
They're not so much fussing to find a place like that, you see. But if you are more into service, like if you want room service, if you want, traveling with somebody who is in a wheelchair, you need a special bedroom. So not every hotel has that kind of accommodation, especially in some places in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to accommodate everything, and your research will be directing you to your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is the most important. What are the needs that you need to fulfill with when you are traveling, even if you are alone?
Another thing I would say about hotels, and this is just something I've picked up from on hotels versus Airbnbs, and I know that there's like a lot of opinions about Airbnbs, but what I would say about Airbnbs is, if you speak the language and if you're going to a country where you are considering living in, it's good to like book an Airbnb in a specific neighborhood that you might realistically live in. Like, that's just something my wife and I are going to do coming up with Surrey.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, but hotels, if you have any kind of language barrier, I would say hotels are a better bet, because the concierge and anyone in customer service, they're going to be able to speak the language, especially English. Like Greece, that was a lifesaver for me and my wife. I love Greece. And it's like, Greece had great food. The people were so friendly. And they had the best latte I've ever had. I know I said
your coffee.
But, but seriously, they did. But it's like, they didn't speak a lot of English, and that was just kind of how it was. And they were very nice and patient with us, but the hotel really did make a big difference there. With Italy, they spoke more English, but I swear they spoke more Italian to us on purpose just to blow us off. Very, very different. Very, very different attitude in Italy versus Greece. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, maybe it was mutual, because usually those things are mutual. Yeah. If there's something they're resistant and some... customer service is very hard everywhere.
Yeah, it's very cultural dependent too, I would say, as well.
Probably. Mm-hmm. And like it's going on in Barcelona, that people are kind of angry of the tourists, how they have been invading their privacy, we might say.
Yeah.
And it must be hard that suddenly you have all kind of these people or stranger. I don't know.
I think definitely trying to keep in mind like some ethics of like when you're traveling and how you're traveling and where you're staying is a good thing to think about. Like, I know voluntourism is another thing that's pretty popular.
Voluntourism,
And I gotta say that like the first time I traveled abroad on my own, it was like pretty much voluntourism. I was on a disaster recovery program.
I did the same thing.
Nice.
Yeah. I was to Nepal. Where did you go?
The Philippines. But then I went with the same, so they're called All Hands and Hearts.
Throw them out on the radio.
So, I was in the Philippines, and then I went on another project with them in Nepal. So,
that's cool.
Yeah. But definitely volunteering when you travel, like, you can learn so much more about
the
culture.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we had people on base who were local or who were from, like, different parts of, like, Nepal or the Philippines. And they were teaching us about culture, or they'll be like, hey, like, let's, like, after the program's over, you can come back to my village or my house, and like, you can meet my family.
You make friends.
It's a very authentic
way.
You
learn more
I agree.
You learn the language, you learn like the actual authentic food of what you eat every day in a household in Philippines or in a household in Nepal. It was great.
It's what we were talking before. Yeah. If you are in that situation, you feel already that you belong.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you are leaving part of yourself in everything you do, and you are leaving your legacy in somewhere, some way.
Sure.
And when you come back, and maybe you keep still having that kind of contact and relationship with some of the people you were there, and that tell you how good was that you made that decision, and that you gave your time and yourself to help a community that need you.
Yeah.
I think the first commitment is, at your age and any other age, I wanted to go in a Peace Corps. for example.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
And so it's very important how we feel committed to our community, even abroad or here. Mm-hmm. I think it's a must.
Yeah, you definitely get like a very close sense of community, like very quickly.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And they are so grateful to you. Mm-hmm. Also,
absolutely.
I mean, they. Yes, I would like before we go to mention a few travel guide, like Rough Guide, Lonely Planet. Mm-hmm. And Moon Pacific Northwest, Moon Camino de Santiago, mm-hmm. Moon U.S. National Park, that complete guide to 59 park ebook. It's an ebook. Mm-hmm. And I found this wonderful book that I have here. It's Rock Access for All by Christopher Kine.com. He has a website, and he had a daughter with disability. And he described the whole country, national park in the whole country, yeah. And obviously here is Crater Lake, and how he had that adventure with her in a wheelchair.
That's cool. I would love to read it.
Very nice. Yeah. So this is kind of...
What's it called again?
It's called... Rugged
Access for All by Christopher Kane.
Yes.
That's cool. The complete guide to push hiking America's diverse trails. That's fun.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yes, I found especially for a nice book that will provide some information for people that travel in that condition with a son or a daughter or a wife, who knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so this way... To finish, I think it's important to open the portfolio of people that have the opportunity to travel, and they should travel. Because it's one way that they open their mind to and possibility, and they have all the right. Why not?
Yeah.
See, they are exactly like us, with some money, some time difference. And also it's good for them to go and make contact with their community.
That's
for example,
that's
for so you,
true.
Manuel, to go, or Miguel, to go to another place and see, okay, how do you do here? What kind of service you provide? What is the library? Do you have services for blind people?
One thing I would also like to kind of say to our audience is when you're traveling, going along with Michelle's point about ethical tourism, it's also keeping in mind how you represent yourself and carry yourself. Because here's the thing that got to me as a tourist very early on, traveling to different countries. I'm not any kind of foreign diplomat or any kind of official, but I don't know why I said kind of twice there, but you do represent your country wherever you travel.
That's
like
true.
I cannot tell you how many Europeans have said how surprised they were by how quiet my wife and I were because we were Americans. In Japan, people kind of had a similar reaction, and it's like Japan people were shocked when they talked to me because my second language is Japanese, and they're like, this white woman can speak Japanese. What's going on? And it's like, it was really funny whenever they would look to my wife, because she's half Chinese, and it's like, my wife and I would start like reading the menu and like ordering for us, and the look of shock just would never got old. But my point is, just carry yourself with dignity and be respectful of the culture and the country you're going to, and just don't be an idiot. Don't be rude.
Break the stereotypes.
That's more reason to really study your destination, because this way you will not be so shocked by their habit or custom or ritual.
What might be... polite in like our country, so like direct eye contact isn't always polite in other countries.
And I will say, more than to be because you represent your country, I don't believe in country at all. I don't believe in frontier. I believe in the human being, and we all have the right to live where we want.
Absolutely.
You represent yourself.
Yeah,
that's true. Sure.
Who you are. And if you are rude, you are going to be rude here, everywhere.
Yeah.
Because this is who
that's
you
true,
are.
I guess.
It's nothing to do with you are an American. If you speak like I do, I speak this way everywhere. I don't care. Because this is the way, it's my personality, and I like it. Yeah. Yeah. You see, and if you felt that I was confrontational with the Italian woman, I don't think. I think was fighting for what was right for me.
Actually, I thought you were nicer than I would have been in that situation.
Good.
There's a threshold somewhere.
I think also just like taking time to like, yeah, like evaluate a conflict or just like trying to like take time to communicate with people can also get you farther. Like when you're traveling as well, because yeah, there's been times where I was traveling with someone and I was trying to like, we were trying to cut across a campus so we didn't have to walk an extra mile like around the campus because we had our 60 liter backpacks, which is also like much stuff anyways. But yeah, like the person I was traveling with got impatient and was like, oh, he's not gonna let us through, and just ran off. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess, like, have a good day, sir. And I just kind of, like, walked with her. Yeah. So, but, yeah, just taking
the
time.
The best way to know somebody is to travel with that person.
That is true. Oh, yeah. That is very true.
Because if that person survive you and you survive her or him or whatever, it's because you are up to a relationship with that person.
That's true.
You guys are friends for a lifetime after traveling.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Almost. It will make or break a relationship traveling with someone. Yeah.
Yes, because the jet lag triggers so many different behavior.
Oh, it does.
And sometimes if it's the first time you are traveling with that person, maybe it will be shock. I mean, who is this person? Is here.
Yeah, I know.
I am leaving.
I would say that my mother-in-law and I and my wife and I, the three of us, my first time I went to Malaysia, we traveled together. The first leg of the flight, I want to say, was like 12, 15 hours, something horribly long like that. We went from Oregon to Taipei. By the time we got to Taipei, we were zombies. The three of us were just zombies wandering around the airport, and we just were like in front of this. I just remember we were in front of this water fountain, and we were just staring at it, and we were like, we could not figure out how it worked.
Oh, man. If you have long flights, by the way, because I did the here to Taipei to get to the Philippines.
Oh.
Move around in that plane. Because like by the time I got to the Philippines, my ankles, my legs were so swollen I could not walk.
You don't wear the special
compression socks.
I needed those. I didn't know I needed them.
I've never been in them 15 all the time.
Compression socks is actually a really big comfort gadget. I recommend that for everyone.
Do you have any recommendations on like what type of, well, you said compression socks, right? Do you have anything else that people should
I think less is more.
That is true. That is very true.
So because you, no matter where you go, you will buy something because it's natural.
That's true.
A gift for somebody or for yourself.
Yeah, don't take a ton of clothes with
you. You will come back with something with more, or you take things that you can leave in the destination.
That's true.
I have done that. I give to certain organization my clothes and other thing, and that's fine. So I bring it thing from there. I to have a very good list of what to take, that help, especially if you go to a place where it's tropical and the weather is changing. Well, no, the weather is changing all over the world, but so if it suddenly it's raining, suddenly it's sunny, sun is this, that, so you have to always be with a sweater or something to protect yourself.
I would say definitely taking an extra like debit or credit card, because 4 days after I got to the Philippines, my mom was messaging me over WhatsApp saying that our bank had been bought out and they were going to like cancel my card. Yeah, you can try to set up like things like Cash App, or I was going through Western Union. Having people send me money. But that was so hectic, like my first trip.
Yeah,
it was good.
I had an experience with American Express in London, I think, and I didn't like it, so I traveled cash. Only cash.
That's actually another good travel tip. I'd recommend like taking like a certain amount of cash and then converting it just to have it on you, because sometimes you are in situations where you don't want to use your credit card or debit
card. I mean, you can sometimes exchange at airports, but I think that might be a little bit more expensive.
And also the other thing that I might say is most of the time I pay everything in advance.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do too when I can.
So this way I know that
I was going to say, the phone bill, too. Like, when you get back, especially if you're going on a long trip, and this happened to me. I went to Hong Kong for like 3 weeks, and then I came back. I'm like, my phone's not working. Like, I can't call anybody. And they're like, oh, you have an overdue on your phone. And I'm like, what?
Oh, gosh.
I had to handle it in the airport, like trying to pay my phone bill on my phone, uh-huh. using the airport's internet. Just trying.
Well, that's stressful.
Also, like, you can go... Like, what I was doing was at airports, I was just buying, like, the SD cards.
Yeah, the SIM cards.
Yeah, just using, like, whatever cell phone service that they have over there. In Nepal, right. You can get, like, so much data. You can get, it's ridiculous. Like, 50 cents for, like, 50 gigabytes or something like that. It's great. Like,
it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are so many things to consider, and that is the reason because I have a sentence that I always said, the trip starts when you start planning the trip, mm-hmm. when you are going to the trip, and when you are coming back.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's a process.
It really is.
It's not that you have to go in 1 second to another, especially if you go for 3 week, 2 week, you have to plan.
Yeah.
Planning, and mm-hmm. it's good to take that time to do that.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, definitely.
It's important to really think about all these tips that we have been given to your audience.
Yeah.
To magnify the good experience that you can have.
That's true. And there's also, like, there's so many books out there. There's blogs that you can look at that people, like, who've traveled to the area before you. You can go on Reddit and find tips. So I'm vegetarian. So some of the places that I was traveling to, they have heavily meat diets. And I'm like, okay, so what am I going to do?
Oh.
So they're like, okay, you can get, like, this app, or you can go to these locations and you'll find, like, grocery stores you can buy food at that you can make yourself. So there's just a bunch of different sources out there.
Yeah, for sure. I think the grocery stores, at least in Europe, from what I remember, they were amazing. They had like single portions.
And
of
also
stuff.
The farmer market,
which was cool.
Farmer market are the best, at least in Paris. I go there every time.
Oh, farmer's market.
Yes,
I love farmer's market.
Yes, farmer's markets are the best. Yes. Central markets, night markets, all the best.
Yes.
For sure.
So this way you can...
Yeah. You can get, like, the actual local produce.
Exactly right. That is the idea. That is,
you're not going to eat
important.
Junk all the time.
It's very important, so this way you can enjoy in your hotel or in your room, whatever you are.
Yeah. Nice.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Well, I would like to say thank you to all of you. It has been a pleasure to share your experience.
You have been all over the world. You're amazing.
Much more than me. I love it because all this information about Asia, I think it's a beautiful your experience also in the Philippines and other places that I don't think I will go because it takes a lot of I always said in our life we have to make choices.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my choices has been going in relation to other countries for obvious reason. I am so pleased that you shared with me all that experience.
Aww.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
good
thank
trip.
You so much.
Have a good trip.
Yeah. Thank you. Good traveling.
Good traveling, you guys.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. For more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. You can also find linked resources on today's episode page, hosted on KBOO FM. Search for Let's Talk. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective as a collaborative effort between students, the Accessible Education and Disability Resources Department, the PCC Multimedia Department, and KBOO. We post newly recorded content biweekly on our home website. Again, that's pcc.edu-dca, and we hope you always tune into our shows here on KBOO every first and fourth Friday of the month at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening again.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.